If you have a Bible and you'd like, feel free to take that and turn that to the passage that we've read, Luke chapter 2. I think the saying, familiarity breeds contempt, is very applicable to our looking at the Christmas story tonight. We know the story so well. We sing it. We've heard it. We read it. We've sermonized it. We've portrayed it and played it and taught it and memorized it and recited it and all of the other it's that might go along with that. It's just something that really is integrated into our culture and into our church culture, which it ought to be. And yet, because it's so familiar, I wonder at times if we lose the wonder and amazement at Christmas. I wonder if we've lost some of that wow factor that God Himself became flesh to save mankind from themselves. My prayer is that our time this morning, or this time this evening, would rekindle a flame within believers here. And that the events that surround the birth of Jesus, the angels and the shepherds, would cause some renewed amazement within us, a renewed wonder and renewed awe. Because, listen, it's not about angels and it's not about shepherds. It's not about a manger. It's about God and His eternal plan unfolding right before, well, our eyes here in Luke chapter 2. And as Luke records for us this morning, we've been going through the book of Luke through the month of December, and as we continue on looking at Luke, he's writing these things so that we can be certain of our faith. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world. And he puts forward evidence even before Jesus steps on the scene to point to that fact. And now that Jesus has been born, as Luke 2 says in verse 6 and 7, that she gave birth to her firstborn son. And now that the Christ is here, God in the flesh is not just conceived, but he is born. God does something awesome. For he sends his angel again to shepherds who are watching their fields at night, Luke says, to testify of this one thing. The Savior has come, Christ the Lord. And the Lord's message to the shepherds is one of such great joy that they can't contain it. Now, I don't know about you, but I love, and I think our culture loves, stories of everyday common people receiving joy. Like the stories of the NFL quarterback giving his first paycheck to cafeteria workers whose homes have been destroyed by a hurricane. Or the story of a wealthy entrepreneur giving a $3,000 tip on a $49 bill. Or the undeserving inner city child receiving a trip of a lifetime. I don't know about you, but that just says, man, that makes me happy. I go, I like that, especially in a world of chaos and in a world where bad news often leads. And it warms our hearts and it warms our affections to say, there's good out there. But I want us to see that when the angels come to these shepherds, they say, listen, don't be afraid. I've got good news of great joy. I've got the best news. So what is that news? Well, you know as well as I do, we just read it. It's a very simple message. That message is a Savior is born in Bethlehem. And the whole point of these angels coming to these shepherds is to testify that Mary's child is the Savior. And it's what's interesting here is that he could have just said a Savior has been born and left it, and that would have been enough, I think, for these shepherds to go, and it would have been enough affirmation for us to say, woohoo, praise God, a Savior's here. But he goes on and he gives us even more. Because he doesn't say a Savior he is here. He goes on to describe exactly who this Savior is. This Savior is Christ, which is the Greek for Messiah, which is translated into English, anointed one. Did you catch all of that? And that simply means that God's appointed individual, anointed individual, chosen individual had come to earth to save. And he could have said that and we'd have been, wow, look at the Old Testament, now it's coming alive. But he even goes on to say more. He goes on to say, Christ the Lord. And the Lord there is a Greek term that is used to describe the very personal name of God, Yahweh. And he says, the anointed one and the Yahweh Savior is here. What better news could have they received? What better news could they know of that all of God's promises that they'd been looking for were now coming to fulfillment in this one person? And so they say, he's born, but what do we do with it? Well, he gives them a sign, and as we talked about this morning, Luke is full of purposing proofs for Jesus. And so he's full of giving signs, and the sign is simply, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, something we already know that Mary did from the narrative he gives earlier in the chapter. But something these shepherds don't know. And furthermore, why in the world would a baby, why would the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, why would he be laying in a manger? It would be absurd to think that a king, or the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would be lying in a manger. And yet, what better sign for these shepherds to place the Most High into the most low of circumstances? For that would truly be evidence that what the angels are saying is true. And so they give a sign, and that sign is go and see. But that's not the best sign. That's a pretty cool sign. That's a pretty comparative sign. But that's not like the wow, I gotcha sign, okay? That's not the boy, we got to do something about this. You know what that is? It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels. And it's like the sky rolled back and heaven empties itself of its angels. And there are countless angels in the heavens saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among whom God is pleased. And now they don't just see one angel, they say a whole heavenly host of angels, and no wonder they say, we got to go to Bethlehem to see what this is all about. For the angels testify, a Savior is born, he is Christ the Lord. And these shepherds, after they go away, they become a part of the story. And God has chosen them to be earthly witnesses to his heavenly and eternal plan. And as earthly witnesses, they go to Bethlehem. They see the thing that these angels are telling them. Can you imagine the shepherds? You know, I kind of got to think they ran. I mean, I would be excited to know that, man, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. And so Luke says they make haste. They find Mary and Joseph. And you know what they tell Mary and Joseph? They tell Mary and Joseph, your child is the Savior, Christ the Lord. You see, they bring the good news that the angels brought to them to Mary and Joseph. They don't keep it to themselves, but rather they share it. And they themselves testify, Jesus, God's Savior, has come to earth. And in being coming to earth, he was going to save. And now we begin to see some pieces of a puzzle put together. For the angel had told Joseph that the son, the child of Mary, would save his people from their sin. The angel told Mary that he would be the Son of the Most High, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And now they've heard that he is going to be Savior, Christ the Lord. And their response is wonder and amazement. Again, for those of you who are here this morning, that wonder and amazement is the same response we see later in the chapter when Simeon speaks to them about who their child would be. It's the idea of that they're completely out of their mind. They're struggling to wrap their mind around who this child is going to be. And they don't have the full picture, but they're getting it in part. And as Luke reveals to us in part, his whole purpose is to say, look to the manger, because the manger is a foreshadow of the cross and the resurrection. Without the manger, we don't have the cross and the resurrection. Without God taking on flesh, there is no substitute. There is no worthy substitute that offers true and eternal forgiveness. And so the shepherds testify, Jesus is the Savior, Christ the Lord. And Mary begins to see exactly what the angel told her, for nothing is impossible with God. Because the shepherds affirmed the impossible. Everything God had revealed to them through the angels had come true. Yet as Christ the Lord, Jesus doesn't remain in a manger. That's just the beginning. That's just the groundwork. For he had to be born in Bethlehem of the tribe of David according to God's prophecy. But as Luke continues to tell the story, he says he goes beyond the manger and he proves to us who Jesus is exactly as how he is revealed to us up to this point. And he shows us that Jesus is going to be tempted just like you and I are tempted to sin, except he's not going to give in to that temptation. He shows us that he has authority over the spirit world to cast out demons and to reject Satan's enticements. He shows us how Jesus has power to cleanse the leper and heal the paralyzed, make well the sick, give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, and control over the weather and physical elements. He goes on to say how Jesus teaches moral and legal and physical and spiritual truth with greater wisdom and authority than Solomon. Luke will tell how Jesus willfully travels to Jerusalem on that Passover year, foretelling of his death and resurrection as a ransom, a payment to God for the sin of those who receive him. He will willfully and silently give himself up in the garden and then at trial while offering forgiveness as he hangs on the cross, crucified for the sin of the world. He will not allow his life to be taken, but rather he will say it is finished and he will give his life. Why? Because he's the Savior. He's God's Savior. He's your Savior. Your Savior if you choose to receive him. I like getting packages this time of year. I don't know about you, but there's just something about, you know, driving up my drive and seeing that package there, even if I know what it is. It doesn't matter. Just something about, you know, taking your knife out and cutting the paper and going, oh, yeah, okay, I know what that is. Okay? And as wonderful and as awesome as it is to open up that package and to see it, you know, whatever inside that package is useless unless I put it to its use. And I think what's happened is, over the course of our familiarity with this story, we feel like God has sent this awesome package named Jesus. And we've used it up. It's like a gift card. And we've gotten out of it what we want out of it. And so we've said, oh, I'm just going to set this to the side over here and I'm going to return to it. But the story of the manger compels us to never set aside God's package. It compels us to use it every day, to trust it every day, to lean on it every day. And too many people just leave Jesus in the manger. And I want to compel you, don't leave Jesus in the manger this Christmas. Because Jesus came as a baby, he's man. But he lived and he died as Savior, God's Savior, a Savior who came into the world, the Bible says, to save sinners, a Savior who became sin for you, so yet even though he didn't know sin, so that you might become the righteousness of God, a Savior who offers you justification and forgiveness and eternal life, even though you're dead in your sin. A Savior, so as many who have received him, to them he gives the power to become children of God, so that all who believe in him are not condemned, but have eternal life. You see, this world has a Savior. The song we sang, "We have a Savior," is so true, and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, he is Christ the Lord. And tonight, Luke affirms this truth to us in a text that he wrote nearly 2,000 years ago. And the package of Jesus has been delivered to your heart, to your mind. And it's your choice of what you'll do with him. It's your choice what you've done with him in the past. It's your choice what you'll do with him tonight. It's your choice what you'll do with him in the future. I can't make you do anything with Jesus, but I can deliver the package, so to speak. I can show you here he is. And I can testify in my own personal life that Jesus is Savior, Christ the Lord. And I would plead with you tonight, if you're here and you have not made Jesus your Lord, repent of your sin, confess him as Lord, believe in his death and resurrection as sufficient enough to save you from condemnation. Let me leave you with this thought. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W. You'll know peace, K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, N-O, and you'll struggle with peace. Because the Bible says he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. This Christmas, may you know the heavenly and the eternal joy and peace of which a Savior brings.